start by acknowledging Brenda Bolter. She's the master student on the project. My co-authors, Carol Jacobs, Marlon Bowles, and Maggie Cole, who is the Department of Natural Resources sponsor, and also the Department of Natural Resources in Illinois, who funded the project. In Illinois and throughout the Midwest, there's a problem with closed oak canopies and no oak regeneration. And one of the reasons for this problem is fire suppression among deer browsing and increasing of invasive plants. So we do a lot of prescribed burning in our area, and this is done with the intent to increase the canopy openness and increasing the light to the understory layer, and hopefully favor the shade and tolerant plants such as oak species. Some of the research has found that this also removes the overabundance of woody stems and has some negative impacts and also some positive impacts of some invasive species. What we don't know is these impacts of these low intensity burns, which are very different from the abundance of the majority of the literature out there looking at high intensity burns. And we have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the canopy. We don't know about what's going on with the soils. And what the first objective was to look at what are the long-term impacts. In our case, it was 23 years of annual / periodic burning. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Low intensity burns, so less than 400 degrees Celsius on our forest. This is a snapshot of the literature that's available from mostly high intensity burns. You notice I put an asterisk on the studies that we were able to identify as low intensity burns. I think I misspoke there. The majority of this is high intensity burns. So using that literature, we created a conceptual model with our expected impacts of fire on the microbial properties, those specifically driving soil nutrients. And the majority of studies have found mixed results on macrofauna, different results on substrate impacts. In general, tending to increase pH, increase temperature, and mixed results on water. Sometimes you'll get a decrease in evapotranspiration. Other times you'll get a buildup of hydrophobicity. In general, you'll see an increase in nutrient availability and an increase in nutrient loss. And again, this is high intensity burn stuff. The second objective was to look at which soil properties that we measured have greater resilience or resistance. So what we did is we stopped burning and we monitored some of these properties after our burning. And if an unburned control, that's what we kind of expect what would happen. A resilient soil property would come back to that property and resemble what we'd see in an unburned area. A property that's resistant, you probably aren't going to see a lot of changes immediately following the stopping of burning. And soil properties that are non-resilient or non-resistant, you're going to see a significant change at that time since fire removal. And lastly, we wanted to get an idea of the forest structural characteristics and how they relate to the soil properties that we measured on these forests. So we wanted to include the vegetation component in this soil model, and then examine linkages between top-down and bottom-up effects. So the study was done at the Morton Arboretum, which is west of Chicago. Pre-settlement vegetation in this area is mostly prairies, oak forests. The arboretum itself is comprised of red bur oak and white oak with some sugar maple and basswood, continental climate. The soils are bisequal, so we have loess overlain on top of glacial till. The major soil series are Ashcombe, Beecher, and Ozaukee. These are alfasols and mollisols. This is our burn treatment map, and we have two primary burn areas, the northern burn area and the southern burn area. Northern burn area was burned every 2 to 4 years, and the southern burn area is born every 1 to 2 years, and then the areas in between that are the non-burn controls. The most recent fire was, prior to our sampling, was fall in 2007, and then we sampled at 12, 19, and 24 months after that fire. Burning resumed again in fall of 2009. We needed to characterize the fires. Carol did some work back in 2004 where she used fire-sensitive paints. And we measured our temperatures in 2009 with an infrared gun. we both reported basically the same thing in fires less than 200 degrees Celsius. The litter removal on these fires was ranged from anywhere between 30% to 100%. This is our treatment plots. We had 40 of these scattered throughout those areas. In summer of 2007, we measured vegetation. In summer of 2009, we sampled earthworms, and then soil and litter collections were done at those three times at 12, 19, and 24 months removed from our last fire. Site variables were slope, aspect, and elevation. These were done with ArcView and DEM models. Vegetation characteristics, species, diameters, basal area, canopy richness, shrub and herbaceous, canopy openness, fisheye. These are fisheye photos, and these gap lab light analyzer. And then litter was collected. The depth and mass was determined. We extracted earthworms by physically removing, and we use a hot mustard extraction solution poured underneath the hole to get deeper earthworms. And then Brenda did all the invertebrate work where she looked at using Burley's tolerant extractions and then microscope identifications. Soil properties included soil moisture, texture, color, aggregate stability, hydrophobicity using a water drop penetration test, total carbon, nitrogen, particular organic matter, pH, EC, the bases, phosphorus. We used a Bray-P1 extraction. Ammonium nitrate and dissolved organic nitrogen. We looked at chloroform fumigation, microbial biomass, nitrogen, and mineralization, carbon respiration as laboratory incubations. Brenda computed a number of the diversity indices with the invertebrates, and the statistical analysis was a randomized incomplete block with fire as a main factor. We had a block by soil type and also time. So the next couple slides are set up as these tables. This is the litter in the soil invertebrate responses, and the main thing to take away from this is that there's no significant impacts of fire. Laser pointer here, which isn't showing up very well, sorry. Oh, okay, all right, great. So right here, this column here is the fire main effects, here's the soil effects, date effects, and then the interactions of fire by soil and fire by date. And we saw no main effects of fire on any of the invertebrate indices, either in the litter or in the soil. We didn't see a reduction in litter mass. And then down here, we did not see an impacts on earthworms. So in these low intensity fires, we don't think the heat's there that's to create the loss that other people are seeing in high intensity fires. We're only removing at sometimes 30% of the litter layer. The temperatures are pretty much, we measured fire temperatures right after the fire went through, soil temperatures, and they're pretty much at ambient conditions. Soil biological properties, we didn't see changes in microbial respiration or microbial biomass. Again, we don't think that these low intensity fires are creating the heat needed to have the negative impacts others have reported. We did see a significant increase in gravimetric soil moisture on these plots as a result of fire. We did not see changes in other physical properties like color, texture, penetration, water drop penetration rate, or water stable aggregates. We do think that the increase in gravimetric soil moisture is likely a result of decrease of evapotranspiration, which others have also measured. We did see changes in a number of our soil chemical properties. We saw an increase in soil pH, an increase in conductivity, increases our bases, but we did not see a change in phosphorus. So this is consistent with the literature in high intensity burns where you've seen increases in pHs, increases in bases from combusted organic matter and combusted litter. The phosphorus, we didn't see an increase in phosphorus, but others have pointed out that this is kind of a short-lived response. And remember that we measured at 12, 19, and 24 months removed from fire. Some more chemical responses, carbon nitrogen ratio, no response. Silt and clay associated soil organic matter, so the stuff that's recalcitrant protected in aggregates, we did not see a change. We did see a change in total organic matter and also a change in particular organic matter. So that change in total organic matter is likely a result of the more increase in labile organic matter fraction. So, and what we think is going on is these fires have kind of a shredding impact on the litter layer, so they're kind of speeding up the decomposition and increasing the litter input to the soil organic matter itself. An increase in total nitrogen, And then also some, we did see some phyrobite date interactions with nitrogen pools, and I'll talk a little bit about those. With ammonium here, which is this figure, we didn't see many effects here, but nitrate, we did see an increase later towards the study, and this is probably a result of when you burn, you'll get an increase in ammonium direct deposition from the litter to the soil, whereas with nitrate, you get a delayed response because you get an increase in nitrification, and that typically takes a little bit longer after fire. Our vegetation parameters, we saw an increase in canopy openness with fire. We didn't see a change in basal area. Woody richness did not change. Herbaceous richness increased. We saw a reduction in Acer nigrum seedlings. We didn't see any changes in oak seedlings. And the alien to native plant ratio did not change. So we use those vegetation parameters to kind of create some models to kind of look at the linkages between above and below ground properties. The figure that I have up here is with herbaceous richness, which was our best model, and this was a stepwise regression technique where we threw all the models in there and it kind of selected the ones that were most significant as we went around. And herbaceous richness, you can see that the things that were important were aspect, which is basically light, nitrogen mineralization, phosphorus, pH. So we do think that there's some linkages. We don't know if it's either a top-down impact or if it's a bottom-up thing that's going on here. The literature does show that there's some linkage with both light and soil nutrient availability driving the herbaceous layer. So to conclude, these are the properties that we found that we'd classify as non-resilient or non-resistant. The properties in green, nitrogen mineralization and different nitrogen forms, we think are more resilient properties, so they're moving back to those conditions relatively quickly. And then our more resistant properties are physical and our biological properties to these fires. Filling in our model, and we last a couple conclusions that we did see that the increase in light and soil nutrients associated with these long-term low-intensity fires do favor herbaceous richness. We didn't see some of the negative impacts that others report in high-intensity fires, like decreased soil carbon, decreased biological biomass and diversity, increased hydrophobicity, increased alien plants. And this is important because it's kind of what was driving the study. I was talking to some forest managers, and they had mentioned that they think that this burning is decreasing the organic matter contents. So we did not find that. And lastly, just a little mention about the fire return intervals. If we want to keep them at low intensity burns, we probably need to be burning at less than 10 years in our area. So with that, thank you for your attention.
Did you or are you going to look at microbial diversity or functional diversity of soil biota?
Question is if we're going to be looking at microbial diversity or functional diversity. Yeah, yes, we are. This was kind of a smaller scale study for Brenda's master's thesis, focusing specifically on the invertebrates, but we're going to be doing more thorough sampling, and we'll be looking at that, yes. The problem is we're kind of limited in our area, too. It's basically a pseudo-replication study. It's one area, so...